So that video you guys just watched is today. That's not like a ton of years ago when people like didn't understand civilized life. Like that's happening right now in North Korea. And for me, it's crazy to watch that because like as an American, I think, man, we're going to China to send missionaries. But here we're seeing a video of people from China who are going to North Korea as missionaries, sharing the gospel, like putting their lives on the line. Some are dying for their faith, and that's happening right now. And it makes me feel blessed and at the same time just like worried about us because it's awesome that we live where we live. But at the same time, it can cause us to be so content that we don't see what's going on around us. And we kind of like get consumed with our own lives and our own stuff and our own schedules. And the craziest crisis in our life is if we have to choose between soccer and volleyball. You know, it's like, oh no, what will I do with my life? And there are people all over the world that are facing crises like these. And they're faced with choices every day where they have to choose Jesus or their life. And I feel blessed that we don't have to face that. But at the same time, man, it's so dangerous for us. Because we can just sit here and do nothing with our Christianity. We can sit here and come every week and do absolutely nothing with our faith besides just like, yeah, I showed up to Firehouse and we sang some songs and that was the extent of my relationship with Jesus. And that's as far as my faith went. I messed around with my friends. I didn't listen to the message, but we had a great time. I don't know what God said in his word that night. And that's the extent of what we call our faith in Jesus. Project Jericho is about challenging you guys to do more than that. To have a bigger faith than just one that shows up to a building. A faith that says, I'm going to step out of this building and take the things God's putting in my heart when I'm here, and I'm going to carry it to my school and my family and my world. And I'm going to believe that God is big enough to do something unbelievable that I never thought could happen. Something that's bigger than me that I couldn't ever do on my own. And that's going to force you to stop and to pray and to say, God, will you give me the vision? Like, what is it? What is that big, incredible thing you're asking me to do? And it might not seem big and incredible to the rest of the world or maybe even to you, but that even if it's a little thing that God tells you to do, the faith that you put into it makes it big and incredible. When you look back at God and say, okay, yes, let's do this. I believe you can do this, God. So I'm going to read you guys a verse that kind of illustrates, a couple verses, that illustrates what we just saw up here, because it's a reminder for us. Luke is talking to the church, to you and me, about that very thing, about persecution, and that living for Jesus can be tough. And so listen to what Luke says in Luke 21, verses 10 to 19. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." Look at this verse. "But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate before how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head will perish. But your endurance, you will gain your lives." As I read that passage, which is prophecy, he's talking to the church and he's saying, hey guys, if you want to follow Jesus, expect that they're going to do to you what they did to Jesus. So it's one thing for Rob to get up here and be like, hey guys, do Project Jericho. Come on, this is awesome. Go to your school. And it sounds neat and packaged nicely. And it's like, that's an easy thing. Just do what he said and it'll be fine. But the truth is that the second you step on your campus, Christian or public, you're immediately, if you're living for Jesus, going to have resistance. It'll either be persecution where people are like, what are you doing? Why aren't you coming to this party? Why aren't you showing up to this? Why aren't you drinking that? Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Because you're different and we want to know why. And they're going to persecute you for it and make fun of you for it. And you're going to lose friends over it and opportunities over it and maybe even sacrifice some popularity over it. You might have coaches that are like, no, you can't go to church. You have to be at practice. There's no way. I'm not going to let you go worship Jesus. And you're like, but I'm a follower of Christ and I want to go worship Jesus. And they're like, if you don't go, you don't play. That's persecution. And you're going to have to make a choice. Like, what matters to me? Will I sacrifice that to show up and be like, I love Christ. I want to be in his body. I want to worship him. And that's more important than any sport that I play. And you make that sacrifice and it shows up. Or it might just be distraction that hits you the second you walk on your campus living for Jesus. It might be opportunities to walk away and go do something else that doesn't glorify God at all. Things that look good and feel good and that entice you and you're like, yeah, I want to go do that. And in the process, you forget that it doesn't glorify God and you leave Jesus behind. So it sounds packaged nicely, but it's difficult. Because it's real. This persecution is real. And for us, it almost seems trivial in ways, but it's just as tricky for you. Because any persecution that gets you to stop following Jesus is working. Whether it's that they're threatening your life or they're just making fun of you for not going to a party, if it gets you to stop following Jesus, it's working. And Christ is saying, Project Jericho is telling us, we want to build you up against that so that your faith says, do it. I want Jesus more. I want him more than anything. And the day that we stand up as a group and say, we want Jesus more than anything, your schools are going to just blow up for Jesus. Because Christ in you is going to rub off on all the people around you because they're going to see that there are people dedicated and devoted to Jesus that aren't going to church and talking Jesus and then over here partying and doing all this other junk, talking trash in the locker room, doing stuff with their boyfriend and girlfriend. Everybody knows you shouldn't be doing and you're doing it. But wait, weren't you just at church? Or you got that Instagram post going, hey man, Jesus is awesome. Everybody loves Jesus. Hashtag Toby Mac or whatever deal. And then over here, you're like using curse words. You're posting stuff. You barely clothed and all this garbage. And people are looking at it and they're like, wait, are you that or are you that? Why are you living a double life? The day that you stand up and go, my life is Christ. Everything else is secondary. It's the day you'll be able to walk on your campus and tear walls down. Because now Jesus is everything to you. He's the one who tears the wall. So here in these verses, it seems extreme. It sounds like the video we just watched where it says that even parents and relatives and brothers and even friends are going to turn you in, get you sent to prison. Like, that's exactly what he was talking about in the video. Did you hear what they're telling them? Hey, missionaries are actually terrorists. And at first they want to get you to like them. And they're so nice to you. But it's only so they can get you to go to their house. And when they get you to their house, they kill you and eat your liver. They're telling these kids that from when they're in kindergarten. So by the time they're adults, when they meet a missionary who wants to tell them about Jesus Christ and how they can have eternal life, they're thinking, you're going to eat my liver, bro. Get away from me. It's real. This stuff is happening. He says here, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Luke's not talking about persecution as this thing where he's like, let's pray to God that it stops. We don't want persecution anymore. He's not saying that. What he's saying is actually when this persecution comes, it's your opportunity. It's your opportunity to look back at your friend and respond in a way that shows them Christ. It's this awesome opportunity that says, why in the world are you responding that way? You should hate me right now. You should want to like... And instead, you're loving me? And so the thing I see here is that the way we fight persecution and hatred is with love. The way Jesus has called his church to fight that. So when you get onto your campus and immediately like, this, why do you keep inviting me to FCA? It's driving me crazy. I'm not going to that thing. You guys are losers. People that go there are weird. It's this Christian cult thing you're doing. And they're saying all sorts of junk. Immediately you're going to start to hear that. You know what you do instead of replying in anger and trying to get them back? You serve them. You show them who you really are. You show them who Christ really is in your heart. And you love them even when they're hating on you. You're like, how do I do that? And this is cool here because it says that you shouldn't even think and plan ahead of what you're going to say back. It says actually when you're in the moment, the Holy Spirit promises to give you exactly what you need to respond to those people. So I can't come up here and tell you, here's what you say next. A, B, and C, memorize this. It says the Holy Spirit's going to fill you with a testimony to say back to these people in those moments. He's going to show you how to love them. He's going to show you the service that you can do that will open their eyes so he can grab their heart and call them to Christ. You want to be an example? In the middle of the persecution, love and serve them the way the Holy Spirit tells you in the moment. And that could look so different for so many of you. But here's the cool, look at the end. The cool thing is, it says some of you, they will put to death. No, that's not the cool part, okay? Some people will lose their life over Christ, and they are. We just saw that in the video. But then skip ahead a little bit. It says, but not a hair of your head will perish. It's almost like, wait, do you know what you're talking about, bro? You just said some of you are going to die, but then you said not even a hair in their head's going to perish. Which is it? And the thing is that the life that he's talking about is a life that can be never taken from you that lasts forever. He's reminding us of real life. That even if they were to take our life, they can't hurt us. You're a child of God. You will live forever. So if this life ends, this isn't the end for you. And some of us feel like everything's ending when I have to give up that one opportunity to go serve Jesus. It's like, I can either make myself really happy and do this, or I can sacrifice and go do the thing that pleases God the most. And, ah, man, such persecution in this. And God's like, wait, what do you love the most? This life or the one that's going to last forever? Which one will you invest in? Which one will you care most about and hold the most tightly in your hand? That's going to determine how you handle this. Because what your heart wants is what you will do. So if Christ is in your heart, you're going to chase after Jesus. You're going to get built up and you're going to go down your campus and walls are going to start coming down and you are going to be filled with passion to serve Christ. So the truth is that if you follow Jesus, you will face persecution. It's coming. But you fight hate with love. So go love them. Go love those people that are going to come around you and wonder why. Now, here's just a practical step for us to take because it's easy to come, like I said, and be like, we talk about this a lot. Well, what are we practically doing? I hear some awesome stories from some of you guys who are just rocking it out. You're telling me like, man, this stuff is like really speaking to my heart. The word of God is like telling me to do things and I'm saying yes to Jesus and I'm doing it. And God's doing awesome stuff on my campus. And so we're already seeing God move. And I'm wondering who else he's calling that you've been coming every week, but you're not saying yes yet. And he's like, come on, come on. I got this ready for you. Will you say yes? Will you go do it? Will you live for something that lasts forever instead of the garbage that we're living for right now? So some ways we're doing it as a group that we want to invite you guys into. Did you know that our missions conference we just did like a week ago was Neighbors and Nations, right? That we want to bring the gospel to our neighbors and to the nations. So Firehouse, we have this thing set up. Justin was telling you earlier where we do feast night. You guys know about feast night. This feast night, what we're going to do is invite you guys to bring things in to serve our neighbors. We're going to set up this big banquet table upstairs, and we want you right now to get on your phone, text your mom and say, we need to get a frozen turkey now, mom, before they're all sold out. Or get some canned goods or whatever you can bring and scrounge it together, and we're going to load that banquet table up with things. And we're going to take that over to Merritt Island High School, where they have a list of students who are living all over the place. They're jumping from couch to couch, living in different people's houses. Their families are living in cars. And they're not going to have much this holiday season. And so what we want to do is just like serve other students, right? Serve our peers. Go on to this camp, these campuses. So if you guys would just start praying now and start saying like, tomorrow I'm going to go out and I'm going to get something. I'm going to take a practical step. What we're hearing, I'm going to put God's word into action. And whether it's like a box of stuffing or it's a frozen turkey or a can of green beans, whatever it is that you're saying, God, here's my faith. I'm showing you, I'm putting action to my faith. I'm not just going to let it go in one ear and out the other. And then on feast night, we're all going to bring that in and put it on the table. We'll come downstairs and we'll have our feast too. But we're going to have a feast upstairs. We're not touching. We're not eating. We're going to give it away and serve our neighbors through that. I want to invite you guys. Text your mom right now. Get on the phone and be like, dude, because you'll forget. You'll forget, right? So start doing it. Take the step. And the next thing is the nations. So Justin told you the second part of feast night will be in December. And we're going to invite you to do a 24-hour fast with us. It's a lock-in. We're going to get together, lock ourselves in here on campus. We're going to have wild games all night long, all sorts of awesome different things we're going to be doing. We're going to have little sessions that are going to teach us about like poverty and how we like can love homeless people in our community. We're going to learn about what's going on around the world. We're going to hear about Guatemala and things that this youth group, opportunities you have to go serve in Guatemala. And we're not going to eat. And we're going to go to church together next morning. And then after church is done, we are going to just bust out on some food. But we're going to spend 24 hours feeling what it feels like to be hungry and praying together for our nations. And that's going to be a fundraiser for Guatemala. We're going to take all that money that we raise. You get support from people and say, hey, I'm going to do this for 24 hours. Will you sponsor me so much per hour? And then you take that money and you give it, you donate it, and then we're going to bring it to Guatemala and you're going to get to see us use it in the nations. And we'll take videos and pictures and you'll get to actually see how what we did is making an impact. Because sometimes we disconnect. We sit in these seats and we don't take what God's saying out of the seat. We want to help you guys figure out how to get up right now and go serve Jesus. So I want you guys to be thinking about that. Sign up for that. It's going to be an awesome thing because you're going to get to see God work. Right? And together we'll take steps to love our neighbors and our nations. And then the next week, come back. Because Kyle Morgan, how many of you guys remember Kyle Morgan? He was a leader here at Firehouse like a year ago, right? Some of you guys remember him. He's an awesome dude and he just went on the mission field. And he's coming back from the mission field and he's going to speak next week. He'll be speaking and he's going to share some about what crazy awesome stuff has been happening to him somewhere else in the world. I can't tell you, but he'll tell you next week. All right. So we'll keep talking about this thing. So let me pray for you guys and then we'll go to our life groups. We'll worship and then go to our life groups. God, we're talking about a heavy topic tonight. None of us want to hear about suffering and death, persecution. They're hard things, God. But Jesus, as we think about eternal life, as we think about what we have in you, everything else pales in comparison. Jesus, will you help us? Will you build our faith? Take these students onto their campuses to tear down walls for your gospel so their friends and teachers and coaches can all hear that Jesus can fix their life. He can forgive their sin. And he's the only one who can offer eternal life. So Father, help us as we face persecution to be strong, not because we are strong, but because you are. So we trust in you and love you and know that the best is yet to come. We love you, Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.